Father God.
Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father God, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came because you love us. Lord, we lift up before you those people who aren't here this morning, and wherever they may be, we ask that your Spirit would pour on them, that you would bless them. If they're on holiday, that you would give them rest and restore them, Lord God. If they're ministering somewhere else, that you'd bless them, Lord God, and lift them up and raise them up, Lord Jesus. We lift up our families before you, our friends before you, our neighbors before you. We thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you that you love every single one of them, because it tells us in your word that you love the whole world. And so wherever they are in their journey towards you, Lord, that you would draw them again this morning, that you'd call them as we're praying now, that you'd draw them again, Lord. You'd lift them up again, Lord God. That they would incline their hearts towards you, their minds towards you, their ears towards you, that the whole being would be turned towards you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. I didn't know if I was going to be speaking to myself or whether there was going to be anybody here, but you're here. The creme de la creme of Ormskirk Christian Fellowship. Don't record that. And it's great to have any visitors with us as well. So it's really good to see you guys. There's no Sunday school. There's no kids' church, but that's okay. Jesus taught beside a lake in Galilee and it was noisy. So we're okay with that, aren't we? If it gets a little bit noisy at the back, there are the seats at the front. So we're okay with that one, all right? So children, you are welcome. If you want to, I'm going to tell you a little story about my mum a little bit later on. She doesn't know I'm going to tell you this story. But I was speaking to her last night on the telephone, and it kind of blew my mind a little bit about what my mum did at church. But we're going to be carrying on in John chapter 1, where Tom was speaking last week. I'm not going to be speaking for a long time, he says. But on your marks, get set, go. Grace is at an athletics competition this morning. That's why she's not here. The whole of the north of England are competing against each other. And she's doing the long jump of the 200 metres. I'll let you know how she gets on a bit later on. But my theme this morning is Jesus is Lord. On your marks, get set, go. God is calling us to live lives of worship, word and witness. Of worship, word and witness. To worship, word and witness. And in John's gospel, we see once again that Jesus is being worshipped. That we will worship Jesus, we will discover Jesus in his word, and that our lives will be a witness to his power, his rule, and his reign, and to the fact that Jesus is Lord. Now, that's just been on my heart over the last few days. Jesus is Lord. Wherever I've been going, I've been saying, Jesus is Lord. Speaking to my soul, speaking to my spirit, speaking to my finances, speaking to my family situation, Jesus is Lord. And I'd encourage you to do that. This week, and I know that we've been touching on that last week. I know Sarah shared, I think it was last week or the week before, about her situation at work and how they've trusted in Jesus and that Jesus has come through, that Jesus is Lord, wherever you are right now. And Tom shared last week about the Gospel of John is all about worship, word, and witness. And that's what we're about. And right off the bat in John's Gospel, I need to get my glasses all in my pocket. Right off the bat in John's, I might have to borrow yours in a minute. Is that okay? And I found them. You're okay. You're okay, Karen. Right off the bat, John declares in his gospel that Jesus is Lord. Whereas the other gospels, they're fantastic. I love the other gospels, but they're kind of accounts. But straight away, John says, the Word was God. Through him all things were made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The true light that gives light to every man. The world was made through him. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is Lord, is what he's saying. And then we see John the Baptist, who I love. He said, John the Baptist, prophetically, he was a prophet. And he knew that he was living in messianic times. He knew the Messiah was coming. How exciting would that be to actually to know, not just I hope. I know he's coming, and he's coming in my time. And I'm going to see him. And I'm saying to you, get ready. I'm saying we've got a new arrival coming fairly soon into the Mitchell house. Rebecca, my daughter, is about to give, could be today, could be the next half an hour. If we hear the cry, the waters have gone, then it's not a cry to the River Jordan. Dial 999. Because We are excited in our house. There's a new baby coming, and we don't know what this baby's going to be like, but it's going to be beautiful, it's going to be gorgeous, it's going to be loved. It's going to be a new daughter, new granddaughter. And we're excited. And John the Baptist was excited. And if you read through the scripture, you get a sense of his excitement. And basically, the message of John was this: he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, get ready, he's coming. And Rebecca's got her bags packed. And are we ready? Because Jesus Christ is coming. God is calling us to rediscover the same enthusiasm and passion and first love. Hiya, Louise. For Jesus. For Jesus. And John the Baptist had that same excitement and that same passion. And God is saying, on your marks. Come on. He's excited about it. You know, Jesus is Lord and he's coming into your situation. Jesus is Lord and he's coming. As Tom said, he is the true light, the light of the world, and he's coming into your darkness. He's coming to where you are, into your workplace and into your family and into your life and into your heart and into your finances. I keep saying that one. I don't know, maybe there's an issue. And he's coming into your physical well-being and your emotional well-being. Do you know what? Jesus is Lord and he's coming, is what John the Baptist was saying. And then we see, as finally, John sees Jesus. Finally, John sees, and he says to Andrew, I don't want to really focus on Andrew, because Andrew is an amazing apostle, and he's the brother of Simon, who became Peter, and Peter gets all the glory, doesn't he? You know, Peter this and Peter that. But Andrew is an amazing apostle, an amazing patron saint of Romania and Scotland and a whole load of other places, Barbados, I think, I don't know, somewhere like that, a whole load of places. But Andrew was a disciple of John. And it tells us that Andrew and the other disciple were there. And John the Baptist says, look, the Lamb of God, when he sees Jesus. And it says in the text with an exclamation mark. It says, oh, look, the Lamb of God. That's not that. It's look, the Lamb of God. And for us, you know, for those who know the Bible, we know what that means. But if you don't know the Bible, you kind of think Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. Wherever Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. And I kind of, that's like, you see like the lambs in the field. Aren't they cute? And we see the lamb as being a cute thing. But John had taught Andrew already. You know, you kind of think, wouldn't it be better if John had said, look, King of kings and Lord of lords. You'd be off there straight away, wouldn't you? Look, the master of the universe. Look, the warrior king of Israel. But he says, no, look, the Lamb of God. But Andrew knew that this was a messianic title. He knew that this was the lamb in the thicket that saved the life of Isaac, who was going to be sacrificed. He knew that this was the lamb of the Passover that saved Israel from the angel of death. He knew that this was the Lamb of Isaiah 53, who bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors and who took up our infirmities. He knew that this was going to be the Lamb of Revelation 5:12, seated on the throne, surrounded by the living creatures, who joined with the thousands upon thousands of angels and the elders, who sang in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb, who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And this is the Lamb of Revelation 7, verse 17, at the center of the throne, who will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And John says, look, the Lamb of God. And Andrew said, right, I'm off. And he follows, from that point, he follows Jesus. He follows Jesus because he knew that Jesus is Lord. But the interesting thing, when Andrew follows Jesus, Jesus says an interesting thing. Then if you read it in John chapter 1, Jesus says, quote, what do you want? I love that. What do you want? He's like, it's Jesus there. And sometimes as Christians, we think, Jesus must be ever so grateful I gave my life to him. It must be wonderful. I've given my life to Jesus. How pleased he must be. And he is pleased. But, you know, sometimes we get like this, not smug so much. It's like, I'm a Christian. I've given my life to Jesus. Full stop, that's it. End of show. And Jesus says, what do you want? I love that question. Because he's asking me and you at this point in my life, in your life, why are you following me? What do you want? And I think when you know that Jesus is Lord, there is only one response to that. And I love Andrew's response, because what Andrew says is this. He says, Rabbi, where are you staying? The only response to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings asking you, what do you want, is, Lord, what do you want? I want to come and be with you in your presence. Lord, I want to be with you. I want to dwell with you. I want to find out where you're inhabiting, and I want to come and stay with you. That's our response. Not, I need more money. Not, Lord, I need more help. Not, Lord, and it's okay to ask for things from Jesus. But first and foremost, we need to be asking the question, Lord, where are you staying? I want to be with you. I want to seek your face. I want to seek your presence. I want to be where you are. So Andrew says, where are you staying? How desperate are we to be in the presence of Jesus? Oh, just a few more minutes in bed, Lord. Just a few more minutes in bed. Almighty God, I'm a little bit hungry. I'll just get myself a bit of toast. I was reading I've got a family Bible. My great-granddad was a missionary. And I've been given the family Bible. And it's got all this copper plate writing in it, which is amazing. Like he marks his Bible like me. Wow, there's a long line of Bible markers. And within it, he's got this little comment that he's put. He says, I'd rather not nourish the body than not nourish the soul. I'd rather not nourish the body than not nourish the soul. And this was, I think this would have been about the turn of the century, 1901, 1910, round about that time. I'd rather not nourish the body than not nourish the soul. Get ourselves with God. Get ourselves with Jesus in his presence. My mum told me that she never went to, we were talking about Sunday school, and she never went to Sunday school because they never had Sunday school. They never had kids' church. A bit like this morning. They never had it. And she went to a Church of England, and she used to sit on the front row, like Melody here, every Sunday through that service. And she didn't say that was a good thing, because she missed out on the Bible stories and all of that, and she kind of regrets that a bit. So we're talking about this. And I said, Mum, you know, when did you start going to this church? She went on her own. My gran and granddad used to send her, and I don't know what they did, played cards at home or something, but they used to send her off to church. So there she was at church on her own on the front row. I said, when did you start doing this, Mum? And the story is that my grandma was a cleaner for Lady Ryan of East Burgholt. So she lived in Lady Ryan's house and used to clean and make the food and that. And my mum lived there with her while my granddad was in service and in the war. And so they were there. And she was playing in the back garden, apparently. And she was 5 years old. And my grandma was getting the meal ready for Lady Ryan. And then my grandma went out and couldn't find my mum anywhere. Didn't know where she was. And she eventually found out. She'd taken herself off to church. 5 years old. And the church was only a few doors down. But she'd just taken herself. She'd got hold of somebody's hand. I mean, safeguarding out the windows completely there. Deary me. And she'd apparently taken herself out 5 years old. So my grandma thought, right, she could do it every week then. So she used to send her, 5 years old, she used to send her on her own to church, 5 years old. And so from the age of five, my mum sat at the front of church. And she then told me about when she was 13 years old, the bishop came and confirmed all these people. And the bishop came and laid hands on the people. And she said, when the bishop laid hands on me, I felt this tingling. And I said, I know now it's the Holy Spirit. My mum is just like amazing. Okay, she's a stout. Way. She's a stout. Well, I've wrecked everything here. But my mum knew that being in the presence of God, something drew her there. She reminded me of Jesus, you know, when he was found by his parents in the temple. The disciples, Andrew and the first thing they do is they get with Jesus. And we're not told what happens when they're with Jesus in the Bible. It just says they spent the day with him. But it doesn't say what they did. They were just with him on their own. And I think it's lovely that we don't know. I think it's great that you've got a walk with God that I know nothing of, because it's private. It's just you and Jesus. I love it that you don't know all about my walk with Jesus and the things he says to me and speaks to me and whispers to me. and the things I hear him say to me. I love the fact that you don't know all of that. And sometimes as a speaker, it's so tempted. Oh, do you know what God said this morning? Isn't it? So tempted to just tell you everything. But my mum got into that presence of God, and she does that still today. And she's been through a tough 2 years. My dad died 2 years ago, and she's been through a tough 2 years. And her faith has got her through. And Andrew and the other disciple, they went into the hidden place. And we need time with Jesus. We need time to soak in him. One of my favourite things over the holidays is swimming in the sea. I got to swim in the sea. Adrian's got a brilliant video of me just floating in the sea like that. I'm just like, boy, she was there for about 10 minutes, but like with me bubbling like that. But my favourite bit I've realised is I love floating in the sea face down like that. When you're just like, you're bobbing. Because the sea just holds you up. It just holds you up. And I just love holding my breath for ages and just like there. And until Ellen the other day said, Dad, you look like you're dead. You're just like, just don't do that. They're going to be calling for an ambulance. But I just love that. And you know, when I get to heaven and you see me there in the ocean of God's love, just like that, okay, don't panic. That's just me enjoying myself. And we just need to be soaking ourselves in God and absorbed in him. And that's what Andrew and the disciple did. They spent time with Jesus. They got themselves set. Raise your expectations that Jesus is Lord and he's coming into your situation on your marks. And then get yourself set. Get set. Spend time with him. With the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Just let that sink in. That this afternoon, you have an opportunity to spend some time soaking in the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And that situation right now that comes into your head that you think, I can't see a way through this right now. Just in your heart right now, just say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And as Andrew and the other disciple, and we don't know who that was, were with Jesus, they just soaking in Jesus, and that something dawned on them. And it became bigger and bigger and bigger as they spent time with Jesus. This is the Lord. This is the Messiah. And we need to recapture and rediscover that, to be absorbed by him. You know, last night, you know what I'm like with my mobile phones. It was on 1% all day. And then eventually I thought, oh, well, I'll plug it in. So I plugged it in just before going to bed. I know you shouldn't do that, but I did, in the kitchen. And I went to bed. 10 minutes later, Adrienne comes up and she gives me my phone. I said, what are you doing? I've just plugged that in. Don't you hate that? Don't you hate it when you just plug your phone in, somebody comes and nicks your charger? And she said, it's fully charged. I said, it can't be fully charged. It's only had 10 minutes. It's fully charged. And I felt, I know this is a little bit like, you know, one of these weird prophecy things. But I felt God was just saying, look, sometimes we think we've got to be hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours in the presence of God. Lord, I just can't do that. You know, I'm just going to end up being a rubbish Christian for the rest of my life because I haven't got that amount of time. And I felt God was saying to me, do you know what? Just come to me. And do you know, it doesn't matter if it's a moment, if it's just like you're in the toilet at work, Lord, you are Lord. Doesn't matter if you're just walking across the playground. Doesn't matter if you're just driving in the car. I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I can fill you and anoint you in that moment of time. It takes that for me to do that for you. I'm not saying don't spend hours with God if you can do that. And I am planning this summer to spend a day with him. And I'm planning this summer to fast and do all of that. I'm not saying don't do that. But what I am saying to you is, wherever you are, no matter what's happening in your life, that God is God. And you are you. And he is Lord. And in a moment, right now, he can change around your view and your life and your anointing. Get charged up in God. And do you know what? This morning I thought, oh, fantastic. Still had a bit of charge in it. Brilliant. And then I put on a worship song this morning. Woo! Went straight down. Okay. And I felt God was saying again, look, you know, it's not enough just once. Just keep coming to me. Keep coming to me. Keep coming to me. Keep getting charged up. Jesus is Lord. You cannot do God's work without God. And then they'd spent time with him. And then, on your marks, raise your expectations. Get set. Spend time with him. And then the next one is, go! Go like that. Go. So Grace will be in the 200 meters at 2:30 today. Against the whole of the north of England. And she's there, 200 metres. And she'll be on your marks, right? She'll be there. Get set. And your bottom goes up like that. Get set. And then it will be the gun will go off. Go! And it tells us here in the Gospels, in John chapter 1 and round about verse 40, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and would follow Jesus. Verse 41, the first thing Andrew did after he spent time with Jesus was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. We are called to mission. We are called to go out with the vital union that we found in Christ and say, Jesus is Lord to those around us. And Andrew did the first evangelistic act. I would have loved to have been Andrew. You know, the first disciple, the first one who came to Jesus, and then the first one to spread the gospel. He was the first one to spread the gospel. How amazing is that? He went out to his brother and said, and he brought his brother to Jesus. Who have you brought to Jesus this year? That's a challenge for me. Who have we brought to Jesus this year? Who am I going to bring to Jesus this year? Do I apologize? Am I ashamed of the gospel? Oh, I'm really sorry, but do you want to come to church? I'm really sorry, but do you want to know Jesus? And it was great yesterday. We're doing the healing on the streets, and it's fantastic. I mean, Elsa's out there all the time healing on the street. And it was great yesterday, Elsa, wasn't it? We had a few people joining us. But we found the key, haven't we? We found the key to healing on the streets because somebody turned up with a dog. They had a dog on a lead, and they were praying for people. And this dog attracted so many people to Jesus. It's amazing. First evangelistic dog in Ormskirk. So I think we need a dog every time. But it's just great because people are open. They want to know about Jesus Christ. And if they don't, fair enough, that's up to them. But you know, you've got family members. I've got family members. I've got people I love who don't yet know Jesus. And what am I doing about that? The first thing I'm doing is I'm raising my expectations that Jesus is Lord and he can come into every situation. The second thing I'm doing is I'm spending time with Jesus. On my knees, soaking in him. Face down, as though dead to the world, and yet alive to him. But the third thing I need to do is to do what Andrew did. And it's an interesting thing because when Simon met Jesus, Jesus changed his name from Simon. I looked up what that means. I can't remember now, but it's something a bit weak. Simon, he says, I'm going to call you Peter because you're the rock. I love the rock. I'd love to be called that. Mike, you're a rock. But he didn't change Andrew's name. Because Andrew means brave. And Jesus knows us. And he knows what's in our hearts. And he knew that this man was brave. He said, yeah, that's you. You're brave. Andrew was the one who brought the loaves and the fishes to Jesus. You know, there's 5,000 people there. And so I'm saying, what should we do? And Jesus says, feed them. He said, well, how can we do that? And then Andrew says, well, here's a little boy with 5 loaves and a couple of fish. Or a couple of loaves and 5 fish, whatever it was. And you kind of think, that's a bit like me at Park Praise. The barbecue's broken. Hang on, Dave, here's a biscuit. Here's a biscuit. I don't know what we could do with that, but here's a biscuit. We've got 100, 200 people here, 300, 400 people. Here's a biscuit. That's what Andrew did. Now, Andrew did say, but I don't know what good that is. But he was bringing it to Jesus. He knew that Jesus is Lord. The little you have. I don't know what I can do with this, Lord. You know, I'm rubbish. Is it just me that feels like that sometimes? I'm not as good as people might think I am. Is it only me that thinks? Is it just me? Do some of us sometimes think, Lord, I haven't got very much to give? And Andrew, brave Andrew, brings to Jesus, says, here's a little boy with some small loaves and some, it says small loaves and small fish. And Jesus says, great. Right, get them to sit down. And it tells us that everybody had what they wanted and more. You see, what your situation is this, that your situation doesn't need you. Your situation needs you with the King of Kings. Jesus is Lord in your situation. Spend time with him. And so just to finish with, you know, Andrew then goes on. And after Jesus ascended, it says that Andrew and the disciples were persecuted. And we find out that Andrew the Apostle preached around the Black Sea region and preached around the area of Romania. And that's why Bogdan is here. And that's why Nadia is here. And that's why here's the patron saint of Romania for a reason. and for other countries around the area, and for Scotland. I don't know how we got to Scotland. But apparently, something happened, and the cross of Scotland is that cross, isn't it? Is that called the Crux de Stratus or something, the Saltier? Because Andrew was crucified. Andrew believed that Jesus was Lord, and he didn't stop preaching the gospel message. From the moment he brought his brother to Jesus to the moment he died, he was preaching the gospel of Jesus, that Jesus is Lord. And he refused to be crucified on a cross like Jesus because he said he wasn't worthy. So he was crucified on the Saltier, and he lived his life with Jesus as Lord. We're going to have a time of worship. Worship, word, and witness. We spent time in the word. But you know, the challenge for you today and for me is this. Are we living as though Jesus is Lord all the time, everywhere, in every context, in every aspect, in all of our lives? Jesus is Lord. And the challenge that God has placed on my heart, and if you want to take it, take it, is that I am going to declare that Jesus is Lord no matter what, everywhere. Jesus is Lord. So we're just going to pray. So let's just pray now, and we're going to have a time, and Liz is going to come and lead us in worship. Let's just pray. Lord, I thank you that you are the Lamb of God, seated on the throne. And right now you are interceding for us. And we lift before you our hearts and those situations that we are struggling with right now. And we say, Lord, in that situation, be Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. And we want to say in our hearts, Jesus is Lord. We speak into that situation. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And when we repeat it and repeat it until we know it, that it isn't just a belief, but it's a fact. Jesus is Lord. We want to see with your eyes, not our eyes. Jesus is Lord. Give us the heart that Andrew had, Lord, that we would be able to step out boldly, having spent time with you, King of kings and Lord of lords, Lamb of glory, Lamb of God. We want to be with you, the Lion and the Lamb. We want to be with you, King of kings. And so over this time, Lord, as we prepare ourselves for what you want to do through us as a church, we lift up before you the leaders of this church. We pray that they would get themselves with Jesus, get themselves with you. We lift up before you, Lord God, those who minister in the church. We lift up before you those who minister your word. We lift up before you those people that we're praying for yesterday in the healing on the streets. We lift up before you Mike and some of the others, Lord, that you would be with them. Jesus is Lord. We lift our families before you, Lord. Those who don't yet know you, may they come to bow the knee to you, and may they do it soon. Jesus is Lord. And Lord, the doubts that come into our minds about what we can do with our lives and where we're going and what those next steps are for us and those decisions that we need to make about our lives, about where to go, about where to work, about where to live, about when and where to worship, about applying your word, all those next steps that you've got for us about our ministries. We declare Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And we trust you. We trust you. We let go of those situations. We say, Jesus is Lord. We trust you. We trust you. Lord, I know I've spoken quickly this morning. Perhaps I've spoken in a rushed way. But we don't want to rush your kingdom. We say, Lord, help us today to spend time with you. Whether that means we don't nourish our bodies so we can nourish our souls, then may we spend time with you today, Lord. May our lives declare that Jesus is Lord. In our worship, in your word, in our witness, Jesus is Lord. We're gonna have a time of worship now, and in whatever way you want to respond to that, if there is a situation in your life where you just need to declare it, it's up to you how you do that. You might want to just stand and lift your hands in the air and declare Jesus is Lord. It may be that you want to come out the front. Somebody might pray with you. They might not pray with you. But if you want to come out the front as you're coming to God himself and just say, I declare Jesus is Lord. Maybe that you want to just stay sat down with your hands open and say, Jesus is Lord. But whatever it is, as we worship this morning, I believe, as we said last week, I think, that God is going to do something in our worship this morning. God is going to move in our situations this morning, is moving. And it doesn't matter where you are or where you're at, how messed up you are, how cold you are, how distracted you are, because Jesus is still Lord. Jesus.